Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, a new ticket offer for locals, a whole month celebrating magic key holders. Magic keys aren't magical for everyone.
Photopass improvement. Single rider has relocated at the Matterhorn. We complete our discussion with Stephanie and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners. For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast. And be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of December 22nd, 2021. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tag Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out, a big thank you to all the current weekly tiers for supporting the show. Hopefully all of you got our holiday postcard that we sent out to everybody. That was quite fun sending out. I think we sent almost 200 of those out to everybody. Yeah. Well, without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures the podcast will continue, and then we can make it to the parks more often to bring you the latest news and information from around the resort. If you would like to become official weekly tier yourself, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Just a friendly reminder that we will be off next week to enjoy the holiday season with friends and family. We will be back in the new year with more Disneyland news and information in 2022.
Now let's get to the news.
Southern California residents have a new ticket discount that they can take advantage of with trips beginning January 3rd, 2022. For as little as $67 per day, guests can purchase a three-day, one-park-per-day weekday ticket subject to reservations. The tickets are good through visits through May 26, 2022 on weekdays only. During this time, the Lunar New Year, DCA Food and Wine Festival, Mickey's Mixed Magic, and maybe even the return of Nighttime Spectaculars will be back at the parks. Guests can also save up to 25% on Disneyland Resort hotels during some of this time period. To take advantage of these deals, you can contact our friends over at Concierge to get your trip booked.
So this is kind of interesting because we've talked about the fact that there are problems trying to get reservations to get into the park if you're a Magic Key holder. But obviously something is up for this first part of next year because they're offering this ticket deal, which means that they're trying to encourage some people to come that don't have magic keys,
well,
obviously.
And, you know, it's the quote-unquote slow time of the year, if that exists or not, I don't know. But it's typically a less popular time of the year because you just had the rush of all of the holiday people coming into the resort. That was right before that, all the Halloween time coming into the resort. So I think January is just a little bit more of a chill month. So I think they like to drum up extra.
But it's all the way through May.
Extra interest. That's true. But I think they like to drum up extra interest this time of year just because it's not the crazy summer crowds. It's not the fun Halloween time crowds. And it's not the exciting, beautiful holiday time crowds either. So this is just I don't know. I don't want to say it's not as exciting because that's not true because you've got Lunar New Year, you've got the DCA Food and Wine Festival, but I think it's a great time maybe for people that are local and it's a more enjoyable time to go to just because you don't have crazy lines and all that kind of stuff.
Hopefully. With this ticket deal, you might. Who knows?
Well, and with the reservation system, that may have just evened out the playing field. So who knows? But I think typically pre-COVID, this was kind of maybe more of a lull in the year for attendance numbers.
Sure. Magic Key holders, mark your calendars. February 2022 will be Magic Key Holder Celebration Month. Disneyland announced the month-long celebration of key holders happening in the parks, downtown Disney, and at home. No specific dates have been released on what will be offered in February, but we will keep you posted as the news is released.
I'm curious about this. The part of what I'm curious about is, you know, yes, of course, there's going to be things happening at the parks, even downtown Disney. The at-home thing piqued my interest. I was just like, piqued my curiosity, I guess. Because, you know, typically, you and I being out-of-state magic key holders, formerly known as annual pass holders, we didn't get to participate in any of the fun extras because it was always park-specific. So I think it's really cool that there's going to be things that we'll be able to take advantage of and do with this being home, even though we probably won't be in the parks during this time. I think that's a fun little bonus. Something they had to do.
I'm guessing it's going to be stuff like digital experiences where like you'll have a filter or something you can download or, you know, little emoji things for your text messages or whatever. In the parks, I'm thinking it's going to be a lot of the stuff that we saw when things launched. There'll probably be some special photo opportunities. There'll be some lounges or something, maybe some special food in those lounges that'll kind of like make people interested in going. I also would not be surprised if they were to do something like up the discount for that period of time for merchandise and stuff, because
that could be an idea.
You know, I when we were there last, I was surprised because I felt like some of the merchandise that I thought was pricey before, t-shirts, I thought were always around the $25 mark. All the t-shirts I seemed to look at this time when we were there were $32 or $35. Yeah. So the prices have gone up. And I know supply chain issues and like prices are going up for everything. But I feel like Disney has that little bit of extra margin that they could add a little bit more of a discount, which of course will encourage people to spend more than they normally would. So they'll make it up like in volume, I guess. But I think that would be cool. I'm hoping to see... we haven't seen a lot of Magic Key Holder merchandise yet.
No.
So I'm wondering, because there was a whole bunch of like annual pass holder merchandise. So I'm hoping that we'll get to see some cool Magic Key Holder stuff, because the only thing I've seen so far is like the cell phone cases.
Yep. And the embroidery.
And the embroidery. So I'm interested to see like a t-shirt with it, or like a hat or something.
We did have the bucket that, I mean, if you're going to count.
I suppose.
That kind of sort of counts. But yeah, the popcorn bucket.
I'm just hoping for more. And I think that if it's going to come out, it's going to be in February. So I think that that's enough time for them to have ordered all of this stuff from September to now.
Sure. Or if it doesn't actually release in February, they can at least
tease it
to all of us. Yes.
Well, they're going to need it for this next story. Get all the positive stuff you can.
Yes. An unhappy Magic Key holder has filed a lawsuit against Disney for, quote, deceiving its most loyal fan base by artificially limiting theme park capacity and blocking pass holders with no blockout annual passes from making reservations, end quote. The lawsuit is a $5 million suit filed on behalf of all Disneyland Magic Key holders, claiming that Disney, quote, relegated them to second-class ticket holders by artificially limiting Magic Key reservations and the number of pass holders that can visit on any given day, end quote. Disney has said they will, quote, vigorously defend our position as the case proceeds, end quote. I also had read another thing that came back from Disney that was obviously defending themselves and trying to just say, you know, we made this clear that reservations were going to be required and that, you know, the program was going to be different, basically. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. In our chat, we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the week, and I posted literally, I think it's like the second paragraph in the terms and conditions for Magic Key holders that says, quote, to enter Disneyland Resort theme park, each pass holder is required to have a theme park reservation and valid admission for the same park on the same date. Park reservations are limited and subject to availability and applicable pass blockout dates. Pass holders should ensure their pass type is valid for park entry prior to making a park reservation. It may be difficult for pass holders to get park reservations to visit on certain dates or a select park, and park reservations are not guaranteed for any specific dates or park, no matter the pass type. Additionally, park reservations may not be available on select holidays for certain parks. A pass will not guarantee park entry. Other restrictions, such as park hopper rules, may apply, end quote. Which right there, I feel like they're covered.
So when I first read about this lawsuit, I was kind of like, I think this felt to me like maybe somebody didn't read the fine print, maybe somebody wasn't understanding. But then as I was reading a couple different articles, which we have the links in our show notes, of course, for you, something was kind of brought up that I personally didn't really read the terms this way, but I could see how maybe it could have been interpreted this way, which I think is the main reasoning for why this lawsuit has got it can't be a lawsuit just because somebody's complaining. There's got to be some sort of like
legal basis
for it. How they were explaining it is the problem is Disney, they were under the impression that as long as reservations were available, they could make a reservation. The problem, I think, is the fact that Disney has buckets, different buckets for reservations. So their thought process was, if a reservation's available, I can make a reservation, not, oh, I am only, okay, so my specific tier of pass only has X amount.
Sure.
So it doesn't matter if there's open reservations over in somebody else's little bucket. I'm limited not only to reservations, but specifically to my reservation. So that's, I think that's what makes this an
issue. So what you're saying is,
an issue.
We're going to really simple math this. Disneyland can let 10 people in a day. That's their reservation bucket.
Yep.
And they're saying that if there's 10 spots with the magic key, you should be able to have the ability to reserve one of those 10 spots. However, Disney has done it where the Believe key has three of those spots, mm-hmm. the next level maybe has two, and then like regular day ticket holders have like the last three. Mm-hmm. So if those first two or three or whatever are reserved, even though there's availability still technically for that day, they can't get that.
Yeah.
And so the problem is, it's like, well, why can't I have that? Which we've seen too, when you look at the calendar, if you're a day ticket holder, not when we were there, like everything was booked when we were there, but other times of the year I've seen, and during the week and stuff, where yes, if you were to go to the turnstile or to the ticket booth and buy a ticket, and you could technically maybe make a reservation for that. I can understand that a little bit.
Yeah, so I think that's where the grounds of this being an actual case comes into play. I don't know. I know we talked about the different buckets, but I don't actually remember reading something specifically from Disney explaining the buckets. I feel like that's something we kind of just maybe figured out on our own, and it wasn't actually something that Disney presented. So I think that might be what it is. I don't know. I'm not a legal expert by any means. I have no idea if this will go anywhere or doesn't go anywhere, but I think it'll just be interesting to see how this plays out.
Based on what we know of there being different buckets, do you think, your personal opinion, not a legal advice or anything, do you think that Disney should have these separate buckets, or do you think Disney should just say, these are the amount of reservations and people can reserve them until we're full?
I see both sides. I honestly can see both sides of it, because if it's, capacity is, if they're trying to limit capacity, then it should just be, we have 100 spots open, the first 100 to fill the spots are the 100 to fill the spots. But I understand how that might not necessarily be the best business move.
Sure.
Because you've got seasoned people like us that understand how this works. And then you've got a whole ton of other people.
Sure.
The vacation type people that are buying their tickets. They don't even understand. This is a whole new world for them. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand all the reservations. So I don't think it's necessarily fair to not give those people a chance either. And it's Disney's a business. So they also want to make sure those day ticket holders who are also paying more to get in the gate have their chances.
And what about hotel guests?
I don't know if Disney World has that. I don't know if we know 100% if Disneyland has that or not. I think, again, the problem is if that's how it's going to be, and that's how it seems, and that's how it's looking like it is, I think Disney just needs to be more clear and upfront about it. Because it's just something new. It's not something that we're used to.
You know what could be interesting with this? So we don't know how the whole system works and what the buckets or anything are like. Yeah. However,
don't even know if they are buckets. We assume that they are buckets.
I will tell you, this is really interesting. So when I was following the case that Apple was getting sued, I was following that a little bit. And they have a section when you're going through court and stuff, there's a whole part of the trial that's called discovery, which is they have to turn over documents. And some of those things are public, so then people can then see it. I'm interested if this case goes anywhere, because a judge could just rule that, like, no, and like it ends, there's no trial. I'm interested to see if it does go to trial, if that information leaks out of, like, what their buckets are like or what their algorithms are. Because I feel like if it does go to trial, that'll be very important for the judge or the jury or whoever to be able to decide this case is, well, what is your algorithm for figuring out if there's a reservation, and how do you determine how many should be able to get whatever? Because I feel like if it is going to be a valid case, how they determine what percentage to give to who, that's what's going to matter.
Yeah.
So if Disney's like, well, we keep 60% of all of our day things for day passes because that's going to make us more money. And we've already got the money for these other key holders, so we only give them like 15% or whatever of each bucket for each level. Then that could be like, well, that seems a little shady, and maybe you should have been a little more clear about that.
Sure, yeah.
I'm excited because I actually kind of hope we do find out how this works because we've all just been guessing, and people have been like, you know, whatever. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, so that's I think that's where, you know, when you first, again, when you first read that someone is suing because they're upset that they couldn't get reservations, it sounds like, oh, you know.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. I don't think you have a case, but one of the things that stood out to me was the reservation, basically the bucket system that wasn't actually explained necessarily by Disney. And so that was the problem, which again, I mean, makes sense if you're reading it black and white and it's like you just need a park reservation. You know, you can't always get one though, but you need one. And then you're looking, you're like, why can't my ticket get why is it saying there are no reservations left for my ticket? My keep level, but if I go buy an individual ticket, then suddenly there are reservations left. So, you know, that I can see that. I don't, again, no idea if this will actually go anywhere, if this will just kind of get
somebody must think it'll go somewhere because it did get filed.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if anybody knows anything more about this than what, you know, what's been released thus far, if anybody is, you know, a legal expert,
that would be great.
I'd be interested to hear your take. This is just us bouncing ideas off each other. We don't really know.
Correct.
But just our thoughts.
When we were in the parks a couple weeks ago, there were quite a few PhotoPass photographers who were trying to take amazing photos and control the crowds at the same time. This week, it appears that they have received some help at Sleeping Beauty Castle, at least, with ropes to direct guests around the optimal PhotoPass photo area.
I really wish we could, like, teleport and give our castle photo, specifically our castle photo pass photographers, like a big high five over this one, because we had a photo pass photographer that was trying to take our photo in front of the castle. It was night. The castle, of course, was all lit up and beautiful. And she had to spend more time.
And the other guy, too.
Oh, yeah. And the other photo pass photographer. They spent more time trying to get guests, like, as best as, I mean, none of our photos are free of people by any stretch of the imagination, but they were trying to get guests at least out of the immediate background of our photos, because, I mean, there's a couple of them. You've got like some random person just kind of looking off in the distance like, oh, what's down there? You know, just looking kind of lost and, you know, whatever. So it just kind of awkward photobombs, I guess is what we're going to call them. But they were trying really hard to clear the space. So I think this is going to be so much nicer and so much better, especially for, you know, not just for your photos, but for your photo pass photographer, because now they can just focus on doing their job, which is taking magical photos of you and your family at the happiest place on earth. So especially in front of the castle, yeah. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, it did seem, unfortunately for those photo pass photographers when we were there, it did seem they were spending like half their time trying to, excuse me, can you move? And, you know, it's not even the guests' fault. Like, they were just coming off the bridge, and there was no line or anything. So I'm glad that Disney put up some barriers here so people don't have to be told necessarily. So I think it'll work out well. It is a great place to take pictures. You know, I almost wonder, though, there's a couple really great places you could take photo pass photos that's not right in front of the castle. You could do it like off to the side with the beautiful view. I don't know why they don't do that.
I'm telling you, the side. The sides of the castle is the most underrated angle of the castle. Everybody thinks you need to be smack dab in front. In fact, when we were waiting for our photo pass photography, we were waiting in the line to get our pictures in front of the castle just because that's where the photo pass photographer was. And we were trying to make the most out of our Genie Plus that we had purchased for the day. So we were trying to make use of our photo pass. We're like, why not? We'll get pictures taken in front of the castle. We've never done this ever. I don't think we've ever done nighttime photos.
No.
I definitely have not done holiday nighttime photos in front of the castle. So why not? But there were people, like other guests, that were trying to just take pictures of each other with their cell phones, again, in this mass and sea of people with the castle behind them. So there was a couple of other guests that I kind of pointed. I said, you know, actually, if you just go right down that little path and like lean, like just kind of lean on the little fence there. Gorgeous. You will have a beautiful mm-hmm. shot of you and the castle and not a zillion people all around you as well. So
either side, there's a picture from Mice Chat.
Just beautiful.
The left side is one that like all the iconic castle photos are taken from. The right side, there is an area where you can get a beautiful shot there too. So I'm not sure why they don't try to set some photo pass people up like off to the side, because that drawbridge, like I could see why it, you know, it's right in front of the castle, whatever. But the drawbridge is hard because so many people are coming out of Fantasyland to either go down Main Street or head off on other adventures.
Well, and honestly, I think the castle looks better from the side because I think it looks more grand.
Yeah.
Because you see more of the castle, plus the moat and the water.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. For guests that have been pre-screened for the Disability Access Service, or DAS, now have a new option available in the Disneyland app. Return times can be reserved through the app after the service has been linked to a ticket, making it unnecessary to visit with a guest relations cast member to make a reservation. MiceChat has some really great screenshots of what this looks like if you're interested to see what this new process is visually going to look like for you to make these reservations.
Yeah, so it looks pretty good. I am a little confused a little bit because there are some screenshots of the options and it tells you what the standby wait is. But to me, judging just off the screenshots, I'm sure it's more clear in the app. It'll tell you like there's a standby wait now. I assume you tap on it and it like adds it to your thing, but there's no button or something that clearly is like press here to add yourself to this line or whatever. It looks just like the normal wait list, I guess. But I'm sure that if you tap on it, it probably does something.
You know, I do think that's important. I've never personally used the disability pass myself. So I don't know exactly how it works, but my understanding is basically when you previously were to go to guest relations and say, hey, you know, can you link my pass to Rise of the Resistance, for example? Basically, at the time that they link your pass to it, it's like you went to physically stand in line. So then if the standby is an hour, then your callback window is an hour from the time that you entered the...
It's like the old FastPass system.
Kind of like a virtual queue or something. So I think maybe that's why they have this... They list it as standby waits on there. And that, so, yeah, that can be a little confusing.
Yeah, I was just saying there was no, like, button to, like, join it or something.
That too.
Like, because to me, I was like, okay, this looks like what the current wait times are. It doesn't really tell me. There's no obvious thing that you should do in the app. It's just, like, the list.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So, obviously, you must click on it or tap on it, and it must give you some type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we talked about this a little bit last week. I'm just glad that they are integrating this in the app because I didn't understand why they couldn't have done this before. I do wish that they had, I wonder how often you have to do that interview portion because they require you to do like a screening beforehand. Mm-hmm. So I wonder like if you're a magic key holder, maybe I'm sure there's some listeners out there that are magic key holders. Send us an email, feedback@dlweekly.net, and let us know how often do you have to, I guess, re-up your validation on there so you can use this through the app. Because if you're a magic key holder and it's every 6 months, like that's not too bad. But if it's like every couple weeks
or every time you plan a visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that would be challenging.
Yeah.
But in a way, for the people that need it, it's kind of a pain. Mm-hmm. For the people who are trying to abuse it, this is great because it'll weed all those people out, which I love. Well, single bobsled riders should take note of this next news item. The single rider line has moved at the Matterhorn from the area where the Lightning Lane return area was to the right side exit of the attraction towards the teacups. This should help alleviate at least some of the congestion that can happen where the three lines come together at the entrance.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, because the last couple times we were there, they were just doing single rider through the previously known as Fast Pass, now known as Lightning Lane entrance. And that was really the only people over there were the single riders. So it didn't really make this kind of weird line thing happen. But with Genie and Genie Plus gaining more popularity and more people are using it, of course, that area is going to fill up with more Lightning Lane reservations. So yeah, that makes sense.
I remember when we went there, I thought it was interesting because there's like usually there's one cast member and I feel like there's a horde of people coming and they're trying to direct, oh, you're regular, this is your line. Mm-hmm. You're single rider, this is your line. Oh, you've got Lightning Lane, scan here and go in this line. Yeah. And I felt like it was a lot even when there was two cast members there, because it was kind of this funnel.
Of organization, yeah.
So yeah, I feel like it'd be better. This will be better to just kind of.
It'll be interesting if anybody has used the new single rider line, aka the exit, the fantasy landside exit. I'd be curious to see how this works because I'm thinking of how that exit is. It kind of like winds around and thus. So I'm wondering how you get from the exit to the loading area, because I know you can get from the unloading area to that exit very easily, but I can't think of a easy way to then get into an area to then, you know, be the extra person in a bobsled when needed. So that part I would be interested in knowing, just because, again, after you get done saying hi to Harold and you come splashing through the base of the Matterhorn, it's too exciting to me to really look at that area at a different angle. So I just how would I get from point A to point B angle? And I just have fun and get off the bobsled, make sure I've gathered all my things and away I go. So I've never paid super attention. Oh, wait a minute. You used that, because isn't that where you stood with your lightsaber when we had to do like rider switch because of your lightsaber?
I stood like off to the side. Yeah, I don't remember exactly where, but there was like a little area that I could stand off to the side that was kind of out of the way from everybody. That whole load and unload area is interestingly set up.
Maybe the load and unload, like there's
I
like
thought
gate.
There was a fence there.
I thought there was a fence there too, but maybe there's a gate so you can easily get from one side to the other.
Because before this change, they were using like a section of the queue that like went along the thing. So
instead of it switchbacking like three times, it only switchbacked once.
Yeah, you just
and
went right to it.
Third lane was the same rider line. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
I just wanted to report that as of right now, it is 6:33 California time. I was just glancing because I was curious. So they raised we don't have this in the news, but they raised the lightning lane price for Radiator Springs Racers from $7, like when we were there, to $18 for the holidays. And I think it's working to curtail because there's a lightning lane for 2 minutes from 1 minute from now.
Yeah,
now.
Of course. What did is Rise still at 20?
Rise is down right now.
Oh, okay.
But yes, Rise is at 20. And that's the first thing I looked at. And there was no, because it's down. So there was nothing available for it.
Interesting that they would bring up Radiators, you know, racers.
And web-slingers,
too. Web-slingers significantly. They more than doubled those.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised that they didn't hike Rise up enough. But perhaps they've seen not enough people are purchasing the Rise Lightning Lane for it to need to be
bumped up.
Because I think part of it, of course, everybody's, it's a money grab, it's a cash grab. Yeah, there's some truth to that. But I think it also, less people in the Lightning Lane equals more people getting pushed through with standby. So you're helping your wait time overall, your standby wait time, the less lightning lane usage you have.
Here's something interesting. So right now, web slingers, again, it is 6:35 California time. The lightning lane right now, $18 for web slingers. Mm-hmm. The lightning lane return time right now is 7:20.
Wow. So people are paying $18.
And it has less of a standby wait line than Radiator Springs, which is immediate. It's a 70-minute wait for web slingers, where it is a 90-minute wait for Radiator Springs. So that's very interesting.
Very, very interesting.
I always forget during the week to check it. And when we're sitting here podcasting, I think, I'm going to open the app and see what's going on. So very interesting.
Well, with the opening of the Plaza Point Holiday Shop on Main Street, the Holiday Shop in Fantasyland has been rethemed. The location, now called Merlin's Marvelous Miscellany, received a new sign supporting the new name last week. No information yet on what will be offered in this shop.
Yeah.
It sounds like it could be anything.
Yeah, I feel like it's just going to be just a generic store that has a bunch of different stuff in it.
I hope it's not generic. I would like to see something kind of more. It's a smaller space, so I would like to see something more like cool and interesting go in there than just like more things that you could have bought either at World of Disney or the Emporium or somewhere else on Main Street. I think something, I'm hoping for something unique, but I really don't have my hopes like locked and set on that. I would love for something unique to go there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small little shop, so I kind of missed the heraldry shop because I thought that had some unique items in it back in the day. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see what goes in there. I am excited that it's themed from Sword of the Stone still, because they refurbished the sword. So I'm hoping that they fix I hope they have that ceremony again sometime, because that would be awesome. I miss that. What?
I can't remember the owl's name. Archimedes. Do you think Archimedes might be perched somewhere in this shop?
I mean, that'd be cool.
I would fall over.
Well, with the amount of like theming they've been doing in stores lately, it wouldn't be a surprise.
I hope I can go visit Archimedes in Merlin's shop. That'd be so cool.
You hear that, Disney? You got at least one fan.
Man, that'd be crazy cool.
The Disney Parks blog has some festive holiday digital wallpapers available for download. Each design comes in mobile, desktop, and Apple Watch versions for all screen sizes. Designs include Mickey Mouse getting ready to hit the slopes, Mike and Sully playing outside in the snow, Rocket and Groot strung up in lights, and many more. Head on over to the link in our show notes to download the version that best says happy holidays for you.
I love the Mike and Sully one. I think it's a...
Why is it not your background?
I don't... Because that involves, I don't know. I think it's so fun and cute. I like the style. I like the animation style of it. And it's just fun. It's Mike and Sully. It looks like they're running through like the snow covered hills with some funky trees. And they've got little like Santa hats on. It's just very fun. Very, very fun.
It is cute. Yeah, these are all real cute. They have quite a variety too. I was surprised. So basically anything you could think of that you might be interested in, they've got some cool stuff. They've even got like a Hanukkah one. They've got one that's like a Mickey snowman, but made out of sand on the beach with a Disney cruise ship in the background. Like, it's cute.
All
Tigger
Olaf
and Eeyore.
Too.
Yeah.
Mm. Olaf and Sven. Very fun. Very, very fun. I just love, this is what makes Disney different, because this is not something that they needed to spend time having artists put together and create just so that us crazy fans can bring a little Disney magic to our desktop computers, our home computers, our work computers, come on.
Devices, your watch.
The watch, that's pretty darn cool. Mm-hmm. Like, very cool. A new ecological way to get around the Anaheim Resort District is coming soon. Sage Energy Consulting is working with the Anaheim Transportation Network to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, reduce electricity costs, and charge the new vehicles. Some of the charging stations are solar powered and will work with batteries to store power when the sun is out and charge the buses when it is a cloudy day or even at night. The goal is to have a 100% electric fleet by 2025.
That is really soon.
It is very soon. And I just want to clarify, Anaheim Resort District, more commonly known as the art buses.
Yes. Which I'm kind of excited that they have these electric fleets coming. Like I said, 2025, not that long. What's kind of cool about these charging stations, as I understand it from the post, was that at certain stops, when they're sitting there waiting and like loading, they will get some charge from these.
Sure.
And then they'll, you know, bop around and go to the next stop or whatever. We kind of saw something a little different, but similar in how it operates with the red car trolley, yep. Although that hasn't been running. but the charging station is in the ground, so yes. When you're parked at the station, it's charging. When you're going, it's got the electricity. When you get to the station again, because obviously these things are spending time loading and unloading guests and stuff, so why would they not charge when that's happening? So
I think this is so cool because, right, Disney itself has been trying to push towards more green. They've got, of course, the paper straws. Love them or hate them, they're better for our environment,
right,
than the plastic straws are, at least. But then
not a lot of lids.
Yeah, but lids seem to be going away too. But then, of course, things like reusing oil as biofuel for vehicles, and you know, all sorts of stuff. If you ever have a chance to go out to the Animal Kingdom, they're very passionate about it there, and they do a lot of education as you're going around that park on these things and specifically what Disney is doing to help reduce their footprint. So I think it's cool that this is related to Disney, but it's not something that Disney specifically is doing. So I just, very cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I wonder if how much quieter these buses and stuff will be, because they're electric. Well, fans of soccer, or football as it's known everywhere else in the world, now have a place to shop in downtown Disney. Pele, named after the legendary Pelé, named after the legendary Brazilian soccer player, opened last week. The store is themed like a stadium and offers a variety of soccer gear from global sports brands. Official club and national team jerseys from around the world are also for sale and can be customized with a name and number.
Very, very cool. I played soccer when I was in high school. Not that that really matters, but I'm a soccer fan. Me personally, I'm a little, how do I want to say this nicely? I'm a little worried about this shop's longevity in Downtown Disney. I really hope that I'm wrong, but I just, hopefully it will be popular enough that it will be able to be around for a little while, because they did put in, you know, they did put in some work to get it there. And of course, you know, kind of theming it to like tags at a stadium. So I hope it sticks around and has enough traffic for it to stick around. But I personally think this is kind of a strange choice for the Downtown Disney District.
I'll tell you what, though. There's been some other stores in Downtown Disney that I'm not sure how they're open, like the soap store and stuff. Who goes there to buy that? We got to remember, for locals, this is kind of a mall for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The soap store, I think, made more sense because you had like all the hotel guests and
maybe
you forgot something at home or, you know, whatever, or it's kind of more of a special treat. This is a very specific fan base.
Sure.
So I just, like I said, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm a little nervous about it.
Yeah. It looks cool, though.
Disney Plus subscribers have more Disney Insider episodes to catch on this streaming service. For the Disney Parks fans, topics covering the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, the Disney park that inspired Mickey Mouse Funhouse, and more. These episodes provide a lot of neat behind-the-scenes looks into what it takes to create some of the favorite Disney Parks experiences.
I feel like this is another one of those shows on Disney Plus that I forget is on there.
Oh, I love it.
But then when I find them, like when I remember that it's there, I like binge watch everything and then I forget about it again until it comes back. The World According to Jeff Goldblum is another one of those for me. I like Jeff Goldblum and I forgot that it was even on there and I needed something to watch the other day and I was like, oh, I'll watch a Jeff Goldblum episode.
I think, unfortunately, this one's a little easy to kind of like forget about because it's not something that's I haven't figured out the pattern of how they update and when they update the episodes. It feels a little random to me. Maybe mm-hmm. it's on a schedule. I just haven't figured it out. That's 100% possible. But it doesn't always let me know when there are new episodes and I just kind of stumble upon it. I think that's my problem because mm-hmm. other platforms, maybe we'll get this way with Disney Plus, but other platforms, if you kind of like favorite, like it tells you when new episodes have dropped.
Sure.
Of specific things. I haven't figured out if that's something Disney Plus does, and if it is something Disney Plus does, I haven't figured out how to make it work on my account personally. So for me, that's why I kind of get it. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind, mm-hmm. because I don't always know when new episodes have dropped. So
yeah,
this news article I was very excited to hear about.
Because you're right, because like I'm on the website right now and I went to watch list and all it does is give me like everything I've ever put to my watch list. It doesn't, there's no flag or anything that says like new episodes.
Yeah.
And if I go to the home screen, there is a section, there's two sections. There's a recommended for you, mm-hmm. which may or may not be new stuff. And then there's new to Disney Plus, but this isn't necessarily anything that I've like clicked on that I liked.
Like new to Disney Plus in general. So
yeah.
New episodes being added, I don't know, think necessary. Like, so for example, let's pretend the Imagineering story gets a season two. I don't think the Imagineering story is going to end back up into new to Disney Plus because it's not technically new.
Sure.
It's not, because I think the new to Disney Plus is brand new, never before on Disney Plus.
Here we are. I think so. I'm just looking at the list here to see if there's anything.
Oh, wait,
Disney
right there.
Disney Insider's
on there.
Never
mind, it is. Okay, maybe we need a little flag that tells us new episodes.
Yeah, because I'm looking to see if there's anything else that was in that kind of... All of these other things seem like they're brand mm-hmm. new, except for that. So, yeah, I don't know. Disney, this is like one area that Disney Plus, I guess, needs to work on a little bit, I guess.
Tell us when the great stuff is on. We need to know.
Psst, Avast there. Here comes seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place. And James and Vern, waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Well, welcome everybody to this wonderful night of trivia. Producer James and I are bringing you a holiday spectacular. Teresa Tagg, are you feeling excited for it?
No.
I'm feeling I should have studied. That's how I'm feeling.
It's a great gift for everyone that we're all here.
Yes, this being our last recording before Christmas, we wanted to do a little research on the Christmas things that have happened at the Disneyland parks through the years.
Last recording of 2021, by the way.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's a good thing that we did this. So our Christmas gift to you, the listeners, and our Christmas gift to Teresa and Tag is these upcoming 8 questions, which will also include a couple listener-submitted ones. And so I'm going to get us started off. Our first question actually comes from producer James. What year was the first Christmas celebration at Disneyland?
Oh, boy.
1956.
I'm going with 55. Why not celebrate?
Are those your final answers?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
All right. From the debut of Christmas at the Park to the debut of the Christmas Parade, the first parade
James,
was...
you're not even talking close to where it needs to be.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. From the debut of the Christmas celebration at the parks to the debut of the first Christmas parade titled Christmas in Many Lands Parade, what year did that first show up?
What year did the parade first show up?
Yes, what year did we first see Christmas in Many Lands Parade?
1957.
See, I was going to say a little bit later, like 19. I'm going to say 61.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
And are those your final answers?
Final answers.
All right. Your third question, created by me. In what year did Disneyland introduce the holiday overlay for It's a Small World?
Didn't we get this recently? It was 1997.
Yep, I think it's 97.
You're like, finally we got one.
You said 97?
97.
Cripes, is it 96?
97.
Well, you'll have to wait for sure. We'll move on to our next one from listener Trisha H. How many lights does it take to create the dazzling display on the facade of It's a Small World Holiday at Disneyland?
Oh my gosh. What a question. Is it...
And I will tell you, we've found two answers and haven't been able to verify between the two of them, so we will accept either.
Is this just the facade, or is it like the topiaries and that too?
Ooh, good question. That might be where our discretion is coming from.
That could be
where the discretion is coming from.
Okay, so I'll think both.
We'll accept either.
Okay. I'll say 1.2 million lights. It seems like a lot, but...
It seems... Yeah.
It's probably going to be something like 600,000 lights or something, and I'm just way overshooting it.
I don't know. It's hard. I'm thinking about the rotary lights and how many lights they claim to have.
They have like
versus,
2 million, don't they?
Yeah, versus what we see. I'm going to say, let's do 800,000. I feel like they're spaced out.
Sure.
Be interesting to know how many are inside as well.
Mm-hmm. That's our final answer.
Debuting in 1961, there used to be a 24-foot-wide Christmas star on display over the Disneyland park. Where was it mounted?
On top of the Matterhorn.
Oh, that makes sense. I'm going to steal your answer and also say Matterhorn.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
All right, then.
Our next one, thanks to producer Vern. In the Disney archives, two boxes labeled Christmas List can be seen. In these boxes are the names, addresses, and gifts sent to Bing Crosby, Buddy Ebsen, the children of the Ford family, the children of Ford executive Lee Iacocca, as well as gift lists for children's hospitals across the country, and Eunice Combs, a janitress at the studio. Who wrote all of these Christmas lists?
I was going to say Walt. I'm trying to think, why would they be in the archives?
They're in the archives, is what you said?
Mm-hmm.
That was a long question.
Yes.
Are you going with Walt?
I think I'm going to go with Walt.
I'm going to go with Lillian.
Oh, good. Yep.
But my gut was saying that maybe I should go with like Roy, but I think Lillian, now that I think
about
it.
That makes sense. Yeah, that maybe. Makes a lot of sense.
Sounds great. We'll see about that. But first, another question from producer Vern.
Another question from me deep diving Disney Christmas history. What year was the premiere of the Haunted Mansion holiday overlay?
Ooh, I got
Kudos to
one.
You if you know the month.
Come on.
It was November. No, October. It was October 2001.
I was going to say, if you don't get the year, I'm going to disown you as a friend.
October, though,
host.
Because I remember thinking that
no,
it was...
No, the year, if you didn't get the year.
But I'm saying October because I remember thinking that was really short before Halloween. Because now, like, it starts way in August. What are you saying?
I'm going to say the same.
I feel pretty good about it then.
No, it's the 20th anniversary this year. That's what I was like. If you don't get the year
Yeah, but
right.
I couldn't remember if the 20th anniversary was pre or post COVID because it seemed like there was a lot of,
there was a lot going on.
Okay.
It was this year.
All right, and our final question for you of this holiday special. The largest Christmas tree in the park is on Main Street. Where can you find the smallest Christmas tree in the park?
Is it on the Storybook Land Canal Boat Ride? It's gotta be. So I'm gonna say Storybook Land.
Yeah, me too.
Or because no, the little man didn't have a Christmas tree.
No, he had a wreath.
A tiny little wreath.
I feel okay about some of these questions this week, so that's pretty good.
How do you
Luna
feel?
Also feels good about it,
right? How do you feel at home? Do you feel okay, like Tag and Teresa do? Well, we'll find out our answers after our discussion topic this week.
This week for our discussion topic, we finally get back to the second part of our interview that we had with Stephanie. This time she's covering what it was like to be there on the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World. So enjoy. So a while back in our conversation, you kind of said something quickly, and I want you to come back to it because I wanted to hear all about this. So you went out to Walt Disney World for the 50th, is that right?
Yeah. That's
and
correct.
Did I hear you right? You said 100 people?
We had a group of 100 people with the Disneyana Fan Club that was organized through the Disneyana Fan Club. Because we knew it was going to be tough to get reservations and all that. And so we had a group rate on the hotels. So we had a choice of a couple of hotels that we could stay at with a group rate. And so that was really, really nice and organized. And we had a travel agent, you know, who coordinated all that. And then we also were working with somebody directly at Disney, like an event planner at Disney, to plan some of the events. They did a couple of, they did some dessert parties. We had to leave right on. We were there for the first, we were there earlier, and then we were there for the first and the second, but then we had to fly home because we had to get back for work. We took a 2 week, we were there for 2 weeks. We were in Florida for 2 weeks. We went and visited Tony's parents who live up in Northern Florida
in
Lake City. We hadn't seen them since pre-pandemic. So we spent a couple of days with them, made our way back down, went to, the Space Center, which I'd never been to.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. You got to go. So much fun. And then we went to Universal for a day, too, which was also a lot of fun, too. And then we did 9 days at Disney. So we were there before the 50th, which was like the calm before the storm.
I was going to say, that's probably like the perfect time to be there.
It was great. It was nice. It was relaxing. And then we kind of had to fly back. So we didn't get to participate in all the events that the group did because they were kind of staying through like the rest of that week.
Sure.
But they did some organized dessert parties, and we did do the one, they had a meetup event at the Contemporary Hotel, which was, they had some artists and some people there. It was a luncheon type of event and they did photos. So it was kind of nice to get to see that group. And then of course I know different people in that group. So I got together with those people, and we had dinners that we planned and all of that. So it was really great though to have kind of a coordinating point instead of having to do all this by ourselves and plan this whole 50th. Like, you know, it's just because we didn't know when reservations were going to open, what the deal was. And so that was so helpful to actually have a travel agent take in charge of this whole group of 100 people.
That had to have been so yeah, much work.
I can't imagine.
Oh my! I don't know how he did it, but he's amazing. And yeah, just kind of put the whole thing together and really made it a nice experience. And it was really kind of a reunion for people too, to get together and meet up in Florida. So, and there was some, there's a couple in Florida that I met on the China trip who we got together with too. They're part of the fan club. And fun. So it was just really, really fun. But the 50th itself was insane.
you know, the photos and the videos I saw online, that was the feeling I got too. It was just like, whoa.
What just happened here? And I knew going in that it was going to be crazy. So I knew to just pack my patience. I got super lucky though, because we were in the park a few days earlier, most of the generic type merchandise that said 50th on it, I'd already purchased that.
Oh, sure.
Because I have to say the merchandise was a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if it was because of supply issues, staffing, what exactly it was. But I'll tell you, Disneyland has it down here on merch when it comes to those anniversaries, because the 60th was extremely organized here. They had merchandise in several locations. Of course, different things in different stores sometimes, but like the generic kind of stuff they had in several stores. This, there was only one store on Main Street, one, that had the 50th merch, which is why you saw that Tumblr fight on YouTube.
Yeah.
I did not witness that. Thank God. I stayed clear away from that shop. Mm-hmm. But what was also disappointing is there was zero information about what time the park was going to open on the 50th.
Oh, that seems pretty basic. Like
nothing. We asked several cast members. We asked at the hotel. We asked what time the buses were going to start running and got like 5 different answers.
Wow.
So, you know, at that point, you don't know what to do. But
mm-hmm.
I got out. So one of my friends who was there, we were staying at Pop Century, and we decided we were going to hit the park as early as we could. So mm-hmm. we're like, yeah, let's just get out to the bus at like 5:45, because we had heard the park was going to open at 6:30. And then for hotel guests, we could get in at 7:30 because the park technically opened at 8, but we're like, what time is Main Street open? Nobody knew. So I get out there at 5:45 and this is a Pop Century. There is a massive, I mean, massive line of people waiting to get on buses. Yeah. And they are like overfilling those big old giant, like double bus with the mm-hmm. kind of caterpillar thing. I don't know what you call those, like double bus.
People the accordion are, like, buses. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. People are standing room only in the bus. I mean, wow. and my friend didn't show up. She overslept or whatever, but I'm like, yeah, I'm getting on the bus, you know? So I get on the bus. I left Tony back at the hotel. I'm like, you know what? You sleep. Like whenever you get up, just come. Like, you had a reservation. Like, I didn't want him to be part of this insanity, because he would have had nothing to do with it. He would have been like, I'm out, done, nope. So anyway, I get to the park and there's just chaos on Main Street, because there are several cast members standing around with these QR codes for you to scan to get into a virtual queue to buy merchandise, which is only available in Big Top Toys, which is out over in Fantasyland.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, the virtual queue is full. And this is, I don't know, 6:30 maybe at this point.
Yeah.
Virtual queue is full. Well, I didn't even know there was going to be a virtual queue. So, and they said, well, we might open up more spots later. And I said, well, can I find out what merchandise you're selling over there? Because I want to know. So they showed me this sheet of merch, and there was like a t-shirt and maybe one other thing I wanted, but there wasn't any pins or anything like that on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, you know what, maybe I'll check back later, but I'm like, meh, whatever. Like I can't get in this queue. I'm not going to stand around all day trying to get in this
right.
stupid
oh,
queue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then of course Main Street's packed because everybody wants to see the opening ceremony. And I decided, you know what, I bet you there's going to be some limited edition pins over in the pin store over in Frontierland. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I'm already so far back from this ceremony, I'll just watch it on YouTube. Like, somebody's going to, there's not going to be a lack of somebody recording this.
Right.
They got a much better camera and a much better view than I do. So at that point, I just kind of hung around and then I went over because I could get in early with the early entry, you know, for hotel guests. So I went over there and I basically stood by the Rapunzel bathrooms and I literally rope dropped the pin store.
That's great.
And was there any pins in there like you thought?
There were.
Good so job.
My friend finally got there. She ended up Ubering over to avoid the even longer
that,
bus.
That may have been a smart move. Yes.
Yeah. She Ubered over there, met me in the line for the rope drop area for the pins. And the cast member who was at that rope was very cool. He actually let us go like a second or two before the other groups got to go.
Sure. Yeah.
And so we booked it over there and that's a small store.
It is small. You
know? Yeah. So I ran in there and my friend was like right behind me and they cut us off. Like they cut her off. And I'm like, she's with me. I'm like pulling her by her arm into the store.
It's like Black Friday shopping at Walt Disney World.
Oh my God. But we get in the store and they cut the line and then they start doing a virtual queue for the pins.
Oh.
Yeah. There was like a line outside and then they finally did a virtual queue. But anyway, so we get in the pin store and they had all sorts of stuff. So they had the day of pins, they had the attraction. They were limited edition 2000 of opening day attraction pins.
Wow.
So they had Mr. Toad, the carousel, Peter Pan, Main Street vehicles. I mean, all these different pins. They were $25 each though. So they were not cheap. Mm-hmm. And it was nice though, because the store wasn't, it was busy in there, but everybody kind of stood in a line and they actually had cast members in there who weren't merchandise cast members. The one cast member we talked to was from the accounting department.
Oh.
And she volunteered to work. And what she was doing is she had a tray, and you know, like most of the times the pins are behind and you got to get up close or can I see that one? Can I see that one? Mm-hmm. She had a tray full of the pins so we can look at which pins they had. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, can we see the dessert tray again, please?
The dessert tray.
We're looking at the pins and she was very nice and people were calm in the store because again, it was full, but it wasn't packed to the gills of people
That's
fighting
good.
And grabbing things off mm-hmm. the shelves. So by the time I got up to the front, I knew exactly what I wanted. However, I got behind a woman who ended up spending over $2,000 on pins.
$2,000.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of pins.
She did multiple transactions because these pins were limited two per person, but she had her husband and her son. And of course I get behind her, you know, in the lot.
Yeah.
Great, you know.
So, like she's buying the entire like inventory of the store between her and her family.
Oh my gosh, it was crazy. She bought one of everything. I was very selective in what I bought, just because of, you know, money and mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest pin collector, but these were really cool. So, but I bought a few. I bought what I wanted. I did buy one or two for some friends and things like that, but I didn't want to become everybody's personal shopper while
right.
I was there.
Yeah.
I was very, very strategic in that I didn't post any pictures of anything while I was there. Like, hey, I bought this, because I've been burned on that. I'll have to tell you my Baymax story about that some other time, but I've been burned on posting stuff when I met Disney and then getting requests from people. So I didn't ask anybody if they wanted anything. I wasn't going to become, you know, I'm not going to be. And again, I like getting things for my friends and I like gifting things,
yeah.
you know,
but you're not a personal shopper.
No. I don't, you know, even like, hey, can you get me this? I'll pay you back. No, I was there on vacation. You know, I don't want to be
right.
Or, you know, one person asked me, hey, can you pick this up for me? And then somebody else, hey, would you pick it up? No. Like, no, this is my vacay.
So beyond the chaos in the beginning there, of the 50th activities and festivities and stuff that you were able to see or take part of, what was like what was the biggest highlight for you?
I would have to say just the general vibe of being there on the day of the 50th and like, how cool is that? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I turned 50 a couple of days before that. So it was kind of like a, hey, I'm turning 50 and so is Walt Disney World.
That's
so
perfect.
That really made the trip. And just the fun I had with my friends who were there. Again, that, you know, I watched that opening ceremony later on, and it was a disappointment that they didn't have anybody from the company even coming out and reading the dedication speech or even just saying a welcome. I know they did that at the press event the day before. But yeah, it's just, and everybody, like, I think once the crazy merch stuff happened, everybody just kind of chilled out and relaxed, and people were smiling and they were happy to be there. So it was more about the vibe. And then later on we caught the character cavalcade, and then seeing all the characters and their iridescent outfits. And it was like, oh, Disney's back, you know, like, this is cool. That's really what it was about for me. And again, we had been there a couple of days. So again, it was, we weren't so concerned about getting on every ride and all of that either. And so the lines were not long for the rides, so I'll tell you that. In fact, at one point we got out of Carousel Progress and we're walking kind of towards Space Mountain, and I see a line and I'm like, my goodness, look at that line for Space Mountain. It wasn't for Space Mountain, it's for the popcorn bucket. And then I'm walking by and I hear the most hilarious thing that just absolutely killed me. I'm walking by that line because we're like, yeah, let's go to Fantasyland, you know, let's get out of here. And we're walking over there and I hear this woman like go nuts. She goes, oh, they just brought out the blue boxes that said blue on them. There's now the blue box. like she just went insane, and I just started busting up laughing, and I'm like, nope. I'm just gonna keep on walking.
But all right, lady, I'm going over to Space Mountain. Yeah. You can have blue all the popcorn bucket.
You want.
Yeah, you know, with me, I flew. Like, good luck getting that home, you know. Like,
oh, yeah.
I did have two things shipped home though. That were too big to fit in my suitcase. I brought an empty suitcase, by the way, to put all this stuff in. And you guys know I'm big on the plush and all that.
Yeah.
And plush are very easy to squish up and put in the suitcase.
And they're light.
They're light, except they had these retro Mickey and Minnie plush that came, they're boxed. So they came in these big boxes. So I did have to have those shipped, but I was actually amazed. They had me fill out a form right at the store. And the shipping wasn't that bad. I have the, you know, I miss my discounts going to World rather than here in the park where I'm spoiled by my 20%, you know. everything was wasn't quite full hit because if it was over $50, I got the Disney Visa 10%. Mm-hmm, so that's, you know, that's not bad. But anyway, the shipping, the cost of the shipping was about the price of my discount. And they're like, it's ground shipping. It might take 2 weeks. I'm like, I don't care. They're not, I'm not flying home with these things, you know? And they showed up like 5 days later. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I was very
and unharmed, perfect condition.
Unharmed. Yeah. Big old box arrived and it was nicely packed and everything was fine. Everything
That's
was
awesome.
Great.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So they really did a good, I have to say, and I'd never had anything shipped from World before ever, and it was the 50th, you know. I thought, oh yeah, I'll be lucky to get this in a month, you know, but with just the craziness that was going on there, but with all the purchases and stuff. But they were very nice about it, and I couldn't believe when I got it 5 days. I'm like, what am I getting? Like, what's delivered? The doorbell rings. I'm like,
I don't remember ordering anything.
And then they show up and I'm like, ah, look at
there. So what did you think of the different shows? Because what was it, Harmonious debuted that weekend? And then they have the new, I can't remember what the fireworks show is. I feel bad.
There was Happily Ever After, but that's not what it's called anymore.
No, it's not that. What's the new
one? No, I don't even know. We bailed out. We didn't see the fireworks on the first because we decided we didn't want to wait 2 hours to see it.
That's smart. Did
you see Epcot lit up, I hope?
Oh yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm glad that's sticking around because that's pretty cool. Yeah,
that was probably the best part of that show. I hate to say it. We did see Harmonious. They did a preview night where they filmed it, where they did the live stream. I don't know if you guys caught the live stream, but that was the night. That was the night that they filmed it. And we ended up getting a spot right next to where they were filming, like in the next little section over. Mm-hmm. And we were behind some people. It wasn't a disabled section at all. But we ended up standing behind some people in wheelchairs because I saw them and I'm like, let's go sit behind them and then we'll stand when the show starts, you know, and it was perfect. And we did have we had a very nice view of the show. I know a lot of people were saying they were in different areas and they couldn't see what was going on because like the big Stargate and all that. Mm-hmm. We had a great view of the show. We waited about 2 hours to see it. But again, we, you know, Tony went and got food and we were talking to these people. And so it went by pretty quick.
Nice.
But to me, I walked away from that show and I thought it was just me because I don't know. Sometimes I think it's just me and I don't know. But I walked away from that show. And the first thing I said to Tony was, I didn't get the Disney feels from this.
Sure. Yeah.
It did not. And again, the night before, I'm watching like the last show of Happily Ever After. And I'm like, ooh, you know, like, getting a little emotional. That, like, and I've only seen that show a couple times, you know, it's not like I've been watching it for years. And, but it's just, it's that song. It's the, you know, the, what it's saying and the theme song. And this one was just so, and I loved Illuminations. Let me just say that right now. Illuminations, just, that's a very moving show to me too. Mm-hmm. But this one, it just went from song to song, to song, to song, to song. And of course they're singing in the songs in different languages, which I thought was great. That was really cool. Like, ooh, wow. Ooh, that's cool. But it didn't scream Epcot to me. I didn't have the feels of, hey, this is, I'm in Epcot. It shouldn't be about just some of this random Disney music. There should be be something having to do with Epcot and the vibe of Epcot. And so I walked away and I kind of went, meh.
Sure.
And then I felt really bad because I know a lot of work went into that show. And I thought, this has got to be just me, like something, maybe I'm just not in the mood. I don't know. Like something might just be, maybe I'm just tired because we're already in day number, whatever it was at that point. I'm just like, okay, I don't know what it was, but it just did not. I didn't get those Disney feels that I get, you know, when I've seen the 60th fireworks here, or the 50th here, or like, I don't know. I guess I always rely on Disney to move me emotionally, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
And it just didn't, it was missing something. It was missing. It was just off. And
yeah.
I thought it's just me. Walked away from that. And guess what? Went on social media. I was not alone.
Oh, yeah.
Then I decided, you know what? I need to watch this again. I need to just chill and watch this again. So I did watch the live stream. I think the next day I watched it and I watched it and I still went, meh. So
yeah,
that was it. It was a disappointment. And it's a lot of moving. There's so many things moving around and doing all these different things. At some point it's a little distracting from show. And I thought that was that. And the fireworks they're not really all that. I was expecting more pyro, but I did hear that they didn't, because of supply issues, they didn't have all the pyro that they needed to have for the show.
Oh,
so I got to give them the benefit of the doubt on that one, because that makes sense, because the pyro really wasn't, it really wasn't all that. So again, you know, would I go back and see it again? Absolutely. Because again, I want to see if there's improvements made or what happens with that show. But yeah, I don't know why it just didn't move me. And then other people absolutely loved it. So I don't know.
Teach their own, I guess.
Yeah. Right? That's kind of how I feel about some of the stuff. So when I first went to Disney World, I saw whatever they had a separate projection. Oh, Wishes was the big thing there. Mm-hmm. And, now to be fair to Disney World, I had seen our 50th anniversary show, which had taken pieces from Wishes.
Yeah.
So to me, it was like, oh, this is copying that, even though we copied them. So it was kind of like yeah, a weird, I saw it in a weird order. But they had a projection show before the fireworks when we went there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why can't they do these things together? And then they did Happily Ever After. And I was like, that's a great fireworks show. I'm so happy Disney World finally has this amazing fireworks show because I feel like Disneyland has had amazing fireworks show for a while. And Disney World is, it's been okay, but like not great. And I'll tell you, you said you loved Illuminations. And we saw Illuminations, and I know everybody talked it up so much. And when I saw it, I was just kind of
meh.
I don't get it. Like there was a lot of time where there wasn't anything going on. And I was like, this is just dead. Like, is it over or what's happening? And
it was a very different type of show, especially for a Disney Nighttime.
So for me, there was aspects of it that I thought were amazing. I loved the Earth planet thing. I loved the flames that they had going around the lagoon. I love the fact that it was over this giant lagoon and like thousands of people could see it at a time. I loved all of that, but the show itself, I just didn't feel like it had a good flow for me, and it didn't. And maybe it wasn't supposed to because it's Epcot. It didn't feel very Disney to me either. Yeah. I watched the Harmonious live stream, and I was like, they spent all this money for what? I didn't feel that connected to it either.
I didn't either, but I never feel as connected to watching it on, you know, someone's recording on the screen. Yeah. It's just not the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Once I've seen it in person, then I can go back and watch it on the screen and get like the feels.
People that were there
watch it.
That
yeah, too. But if I watch it, so I was thinking, oh, it's because I watched it on a screen. So thank you for sharing your thoughts.
And it was so awkward when it ended. When it ended, people literally didn't know what to do. We didn't know it was over. Everybody literally sat there, and like Spaceship Earth is beautifully lit and everything's going on. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Of course, I was at a distance from Spaceship Earth because we were over by kind of by Italy is where we were.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then we had to beeline it back to get to the Skyliner, which is another story. But but anyway, so everyone's like, is it over? Like, what's going on? Because it was just kind of like an anticlimactic finale. And like with Disney, you're used to like, boom, 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 boom. Okay, whoa, hello, applause. And it just didn't happen. And so people are just still sitting there. And I'm like, okay, this is clearly over. And even if it isn't, we're going to see the rest of it as we walk and beeline over the Skyliner to get the heck out of here. But then people just sat there. Nobody really knew what to do, whether it was really over or not. So it was really, really like awkward. And then finally, like some lights came on and then people, oh, I guess it's over. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. Sure. Yeah.
Just
interesting.
Weird. Like no formal, like, you know, when a show is over at Disney, there's a clear.
Maybe that was the lack of pyro issue.
that probably could have been it, but they could have like turned the lights on and like.
Yeah. Sure.
I feel like all these shows have components that there is greatness there that could happen. Oh, yeah. It just didn't for one reason or another. So hopefully they'll keep tweaking things and maybe they'll get more pyro and stuff. And maybe they'll do like a different version of, you know, Harmonious 2.0 or something that'll seem better for people or something.
And
I don't know.
I guess it was missing cohesiveness of like a cohesive song that really brought it all together, you know, like Wishes, like Happily Ever After, you know, like the 50th fireworks here. I mean, there's always like some song that I want to immediately go back and download because I want
Fantasmic,
that song.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't give me. I bought the soundtrack for that when that came out on CD.
Me too.
So you didn't get to see the fireworks in Magic Kingdom, which is Enchantment. I feel bad that I had to look that up. Enchantment.
Yeah.
But did you by chance watch a video or anything of that yet?
I did, because what happened was we had the opportunity on the 2nd where we could have gone. We were at Epcot in the morning because we wanted to ride Ratatouille, which we did.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a pass for Epcot. But then I decided, okay, I don't want to wait for the fireworks here on the 1st, but I will watch them. And then if I decide I want to go see them, then I have the opportunity to do that. So I went ahead and watched it. and kind of was the same thing. Like, you know what? Meh. I saw them. I saw them live. You know, I'm not going to worry about it. Like, I'm not going to stand in line and wait 2 hours to see these on the second.
Sure.
We were tired. We were kind of done. It was the end of our trip that night. And so we just kind of opted out and said, you know what? I saw them. You know, when I go next time, I'll probably stick around for a while. Supposedly 18 months for the 50th celebration, mm-hmm. but you know, we'll see how that.
I feel like that's what they always do.
Yeah, and it'll probably get extended.
Yeah. And you know, Disney World is known for running their fireworks for like 10 years. So,
exactly. Yep. Exactly.
I mean, you know, Happily Ever After is one of the shortest lived fireworks shows, and
it was so good. It's such a shame.
I know. I'm like, just bring it back. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But
I am excited.
Yeah, I decided, hey, I don't want to really, I just didn't want to wait and see them. And so, yeah, but
I could see how you'd be exhausted after 9 days of Disney World, in addition to doing the 50th chaos.
Yeah. We were just kind of done. And we spent some time at Epcot, and then we went back to Pop Century, and we ended up getting some frozen margaritas and sitting by
there. You go.
That's a great way to end your vacation.
Just chilling out, and we had to fly back and on a Sunday and be back to work on Monday. So So that was it. We were kind of done, but all in all, we had a good time. It was definitely different. The pandemic, the cuts, the supply chain issues, all these things happened, but we planned ahead for this. We had reservations at every day. We had a reservation, like a reservation for a sit down restaurant.
Oh, and
even
very
if,
nice.
Even if that meant eating at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So what? We had we're like old people, you know, we'll just eat a meal early and then not worry about it or snack on something later.
See, that's what I like to do too. Kind of do it in the middle of the day. Then you can kind of snack your way through.
Mm-hmm. Late lunch, early dinner. I mean, the 50th, we got reservations at Be Our Guest.
Wow.
So we had dinner at Be Our Guest. So that was,
so what'd you think of that?
We've been there. Well, I'd been there before. It was okay this time. It wasn't as good as it was last time. I was a little disappointed in that. But again, most of the other food we had in the park, I mean, we ate at Liberty Tree. We love that. We ate at the Beer Garden over at Epcot. Mama Melrose. My birthday dinner was at Ohana, which I'd never been to.
Oh, what did you think of Ohana? I've heard good things.
We enjoyed it. We really enjoyed it. That was fun, and it's family style and lots of food and had a big old drink that came in a pineapple.
Sounds like a party.
You know, when you turn 50, what else you
got? Right. Why not?
Gotta celebrate. But
definitely.
Yeah, all in all, again, a great trip, but a different kind of trip, a different vibe. And that's to be expected. And I do hope that a lot of people do get to go and check out the 50th, because there's cool stuff, there's cool merch. And I wish there was just a better show, I think, too, like the castle show. Just the cavalcade was cool, but the little castle show could have been a little bit more, I think. And then again, just the fact that there was no real dedication, no opening ceremony was just like, come on, guys, really? You know, and then it was weird, because I don't know if you watched the video, but the characters, they kind of came out of the castle and then they went back in, and then they came out and did like a 5-minute show. And it was like, okay. And then, and see, I was standing, because of where I was at on the rope drop in the pin store, I was like behind the castle. So I could hear that. I could hear music. I could hear that something was happening. Mm-hmm. But, and then all of a sudden I hear like one firework boom, and then they drop the rope and I just ran to the pin store. So it wasn't even like, and I get to this castle fireworks, so obviously it's not as big and booming, and it's, you know, it's daytime, but still there's more fireworks that run Disney events. And what's with that? Wow, that's it? And I'm like, that was awfully quick. Like, did I miss something? Did I not hear the first part of it starting? Like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, like, everybody's like jamming the park and running around. And I'm like, I guess that was it. I'm like, well, I guess I'm glad I didn't stand for that show, you know? And then I watched it later. I'm all, what the heck was that? So, I got my pins. I don't know what everybody else is doing standing there, but I got
there
my
you go. You got the better opportunity for you to get your pins.
I want
to
say I like your thought process because I feel this way every time I see like thousands of people watching the fireworks or a parade, everybody's got their phones out or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, there's somebody with a way better camera who has got a tripod, who has a much better spot. Yep. I'm just going to enjoy it and I can watch it on YouTube.
Right. And you know, for the 50th, I really wanted to just take it all in.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be caught up in this. Oh, I got to post everything or I got to do this or I got to do that. And people were surprised. They're like, you didn't post that many pictures and you didn't post a video of this and you didn't do this. I'm like, I was on vacation, guys. Like,
I was enjoying it. I was living in the moment.
And I'm not some YouTuber or social media person that needs to post everything. You know, I'm just me and I'll post when I want to post.
You know? That's like, the way
to
do it.
I just wanted to just absorb the whole thing and vibe and hang out with friends and just enjoy the time that I was there. And I did. And I did do one of the days Tony had to work. And so I went into the park by myself for a while before he came and met me. And so I did like a ride on the People Mover. I'm like, let's just enjoy a ride on the People Mover. And so I videoed that and that was fun. And everyone was like, oh, thanks for sharing that. And, you know, but that's about it. I mean, I was on vacation. Like, so that was the 50th for me. And again, I'm glad I went. We made the most of it of what was happening and you just have to in those situations too. And then when I saw some of that fighting over a stupid tumbler, I just thought, oh my goodness, thank God I wasn't in that store because I would have like, there's no way I would have just walked right out, like not having it. It's not, nothing is worth that. Right. No stupid tumblers. Right.
People get crazy.
It's just not worth it.
That's not what the day is about. You know, it's not about the tumblers or, you know, the pins and everything. That's great. That's fun. But that you don't, you know, that's not the reason you're there.
And we already, like I said, we were there a few days early. So we already, I already bought a bunch of stuff too that we liked. And again, you know, I spent more than I should have, but I got some cool stuff, but I got what I wanted to get. And even things like the day of maps that they were handing out. Well, you know me, I didn't just get one. I figured out a way to get, you know, more than one. So I got a couple of those for people, you know, things like that were easy to get and grab and for everybody. Cause I do have a lot of friends and I have to be careful again of, you know, like how much stuff I grab for people. So
your extra suitcase is not for everyone else's merchandise you're picking up.
Yeah. I know. I have to watch myself on that. He's like, hey, wait a minute. How many pins am I buying for me? How many pins? Oh, but so-and-so would love this pin. And so-and-so would like, okay, wait, hold on. We're on a budget here, you know?
Yeah.
But, but yeah, it was great. And I'm glad that, that Walt Disney World did what they could for this.
Yeah.
And then I come home and I'm starting to get all these Disney books, all these, the 50th book that just came out, just arrived. So I'm reading that. You know me and Disney books. So if there's a Disney book out there, I'm probably.
Did you get the 50th from the Celebrations Press folks?
Yes, I did. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I ordered that too.
Yeah, that one's great. There's another one I want to get. It's from the Orlando Sentinel. And it's like articles about the 50. I didn't even know it was out. I was searching for something on Amazon and it came up. So I need to order that. But I've been a little busy ordering puppy supplies on Amazon. You know, several hundred bucks worth of puppy supplies. But you know how that goes.
Yeah.
But and then I just got this new Walt Disneyland book from the same Marcy character Smothers, the woman who wrote Eat Like Walt.
Oh yeah,
I just got that as a paperback, which I kind of like hardbacks better, but you know. But then the 50th the big hardback 50th anniversary book that is Kevin Curran, Tim O'Day book. This one just arrived last week and I'm reading it and it's beautiful too. It's really well done. So that's pretty cool too. Oh, and then the Claude Coates.
I saw that one.
Dave Bossert did an amazing job on that Claude Coates book. And it's beautiful. I highly, highly recommend you get it. And I learned so much about Claude Coates reading that book.
That's cool.
And there's an entire chapter on Adventure Through Inner Space, which there's information there I had never heard of.
Wow.
So I learned more about that attraction reading that chapter.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I know. I was looking at that one online. I was like, that's going on the Christmas list.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful.
We have a rule that starting November 1st, I am not allowed to buy things like gifts type things for myself. I have to put them on a list. So
is it this one?
That's the one. That's
it's
the one.
Really highly recommend. I just wrote a review on it on Amazon too. You probably see my review on there. I just wrote it yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yep.
Probably
there you are. Yeah.
Hey, there
you
top reviews
are.
In the United States.
Woo-hoo. Awesome.
No, it's really beautiful and a lot of history and just stuff that I didn't know. And again, I'm like armchair historian. You know, I don't ever claim to know that much about it, but
it's just fun to read through these things, learn these things. And the photos that they include in some of these books are just amazing too.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was such an artist. I mean, I didn't know he designed that whole mural on the railroad.
Oh.
That whole Grand Canyon thing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there were other people, but he designed that. And then of course there's other artists who helped paint it, but, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. he like designed that whole thing.
Wow. Cool. Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So get it.
So Stephanie, once again, as always, thank you so much for being on the show. We were very entertained by all of your information and stories and learned a bunch of stuff. I've added some things to my Christmas list now. So hopefully some other people have been inspired as well. Yeah. And hopefully some people will come find some of these social groups. So
yes, we will definitely have links in the show notes to where you can find the kind of events and schedules for some of these different social groups and where you can learn more about them if this is something you'd be interested in joining. So thank you so much, Stephanie.
You're welcome, guys. Anytime.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out just how Tag and Teresa did. How do you still feeling okay? You feel like you got them?
I feel,
good?
Better than I thought I was going to feel, but I give myself like a 40% success rate.
40% out of 8?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay. And James, how do you feel about them? Do you feel good? You know the answers.
Yeah, I mean, I feel great.
Yeah. All right.
Wonderful.
Well, let's get into the answers then. Your first question. What year was the first Christmas celebration at Disneyland? The correct answer that we were looking for was 1955.
Boom!
Well done,
good job, Teresa.
Question two. Another opening date question. The first Christmas parade titled Christmas in Many Lands Parade debuted in what year? You were both close, but not quite there. This was 1958.
Near third question. In what year did Disneyland introduce the holiday overlay for It's a Small World? Both of you getting that absolutely correct with 1997.
Good job, Teresa.
Moving on, our question from Trisha H. How many lights does it take to create the dazzling display on the facade of It's a Small World Holiday at Disneyland? You both way overshot this one.
Really?
It's 50,000 lights on the facade. And what I'm best finding is there's another 350,000 mini lights on the trees, hedges, and topiaries. So 50,000 or 400,000.
Yeah,
y'all doubled
have.
And tripled it. Congratulations. I'm believing in the magic of the lights.
Yeah, wait, 50,000, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, dang, they are super spaced out then, aren't they?
It's a lot of lights.
Mm-hmm.
For your fifth question, debuting in 1961, there used to be a 24-foot-wide Christmas star on display over the Disneyland park. Where was it mounted? Before I was even done asking the question, Teg was right on top of that with Matterhorn Mountain. The last recorded picture of it is from 1978.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they stopped doing it.
Moving on, we asked about two boxes in the Disney archives labeled Christmas lists with a number of names, address, and gifts for celebrities like Bing Crosby and gifts for children's hospitals across the country. Who wrote these Christmas lists? Teresa, right on the money. Walt Disney is credited with these.
Good job.
I was giving him all the credits. I'm like, oh, dang, I bet you it was Lillian.
Yeah, what's cool about these boxes that are labeled like this, as well as a couple other ones, there's some detailed records of every gift Walt sent out in the early 1960s.
Wow.
Dang. That's so neat. I can't even remember what I, like, if I've bought somebody something yet this year or not. We were just talking about that on the way here, because I was like, oh, I need to buy something for my family. No, I already got them some, like... How organized? That's really something. That's pretty darn cool.
Wow. I just found the D23 article that talks about this. And
we should throw the link in our show notes for this. We should put
the link in the show notes. I will post that.
Awesome.
Are you seeing the article from D23.com?
Yep.
And it shows the pictures of the note cards. That's where I got the info for this question.
Wow, that's cool.
All right, I'll post that in the show notes.
What year was the premiere of the Haunted Mansion Holiday Overlay? Kudos if you know the month.
Oh, wait a minute. We didn't give it bonus points? Just kudos?
Yeah, just kudos. Just kudos. I didn't want to throw on the added pressure of bonus points, because especially it's not really in the formatting of the spreadsheet to throw on bonus points. So either we reformat the entire spreadsheet or I just say kudos.
You can't just give us 2 points?
Tag, I have news for you. You are still Teresa's friend because you knew that it was October of 2001. Well done, sir.
I thought you were going to tell me I was wrong, and I was like, oh, man.
Well, thanks for listening to DL Weekly. It's been fun.
114 episodes.
All right, and our last question. The largest Christmas tree is on Main Street. Where can you find the smallest Christmas tree in the park? You two got on the right journey. It is Storybook Land Canal Boats.
Yay! I tell you, we messed up when we were there, because we only did Storybook Land once. We only did the canal boats once, and it was at night, and we were hoping and assuming all of the little, like, they would all be lit up, too. They are not, so we didn't get to see them that well, so we decided, oh, we need to come back and do this during the daytime. We forgot. So we didn't get to enjoy all of the cute little, they had itty-bitty little poinsettia plants planted in, like, different areas, plus tiny wreaths and garlands. It was adorable.
Just gotta love the work the Imagineers do on this, right?
That's the other thing too, right? How long does it take to put all that? Amazing. Not a bad week. We didn't do nearly as terrible as I thought.
Yeah, you thought 40%. You both overachieved it, especially you, Teresa. Ooh, 75% right this week. I'm pretty close on your other, well, one of your other two. We won't talk about the lights at Small World.
We're not going to talk about Small World lights.
Disney magic, right?
Disney magic.
Yes.
Well, this wraps up another fun year of Trivia Land.
It does, yes. Thank you, everybody, for all of the great listener-submitted questions. We really do appreciate it. It helps us out a lot.
And we'll keep looking for those as we ask more into 2022.
Yes.
Find us. Our email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next year with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Happy holidays.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.